very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King, 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 king now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
your fingers or your
king.
Doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
He's one.
But
your fingers or your tongue.
I am the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffrey Podcast. My name's Bubba, and with me, as always, is Catfish. Catfish, how you doing?
I'm very excited.
Very excited.
Yes, because the more episodes that we get through, the closer we have to the resuscitation
of
Joffrey.
Remember, we can't spoil.
Oh, okay,
that's our only spoiler. If you are new to the Joffrey Podcast, we know we cover your favorite character and our favorite character, King Joffrey Baratheon. First of his name, first in your heart.
I just want to let people know, because I feel like the more people are watching it, they're like, wow, Joffrey's really not going to come back, and they might stop watching the show.
Well, the ratings have gone down. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did. And they're going to stop listening to our podcast, even more importantly.
Oh, no.
So I want everyone to know, look, Joffrey's coming back.
All right, that's it for spoilers. That's it. Today, we're going to be talking about...
That's the only thing that matters.
Only spoiler that matters. So now, today, we're going to be talking about Mockingjay, and I watched it. It was very bizarre, set in District 13, and how it had dealt with Katniss. She was kind of like a female Joffrey, Katniss was.
Absolutely.
I really liked how she was all about, when she went into the arena, just like Joffrey, she had other people do all the killing for her. Did you notice that?
I did.
Very bizarre episode of Game of Thrones.
Like Harry Potter always had his friends actually take care
of
business.
Right,
And Harry then he was there to mop up at the end. Hey, I'm the man.
It's mopping time. Here's Harry. But seriously, Catfish, we're going to be watching this episode called Mockingbird after the self-made sigil of our boy Peter Littlefinger Baelish. Or Peter. Yeah, I really thought it was weird that Katniss couldn't decide between Peter Baelish or the other guy. Sorry. Who's the other guy? Oh, Gale. Sir Gale of the Blackwater. All right, so why don't we start off, give everybody a tease. How many Joffreys out of 10? We were very high on the last episode, Catfish.
It was a 9, which is as many Joffreys as you could get without actually having a Joffrey in there.
That's exactly right. So how many Joffreys out of 10 would you give this episode, Mockingbird?
I'm going to give it pretty high, 8. But only because of kind of what it's leading up to. There were some great things in this, which we'll be talking about.
Very great,
The odd couples continue to be very fun and cool.
Amen.
And but this week it was more about, ooh, what they're setting up for next week, whereas last week it was all about, oh, wow, what we just saw.
Yeah.
But still good.
Very good. I'm actually going to go drop it down to 7 Joffreys out of 10. There were parts I really liked, and then there were other parts where I was like, what is happening here besides Melisandre being naked?
Well, let's
Melisandre being naked is 10 Joffreys out of 10, but kind of all the dialogue in that scene was
we'll
kind of
like,
it,
but I feel like there was
5 Joffreys
out of
10.
There was a little fake there. But we want to be clear,
yes,
there can't be any half Joffreys,
no,
because you couldn't ever figure out which half of Joffrey was the better half.
Right. Really, really good point. Okay, so let's begin. We do this podcast for Joffrey. And when you follow us on Twitter, it's like you're paying tribute to our good boy Joffrey. So let's start off by talking about our new Twitter followers. Catfish, who are they this week?
Well, you and I both were followed by Matt something. I'm not being fuzzy. I'm not just saying, well, Matt something, because I can't say it. He's actually Matt something at @TSH_Matt.
Yeah, he works with Double M Matt Murdock on Podcast Winterfell some. So thank you, Matt something, for following us on Twitter. Who else was
better something than nothing?
Hey.
Wah, wah.
Who else follows Catfish?
Adrox Chaz at @AdroxxChazz. He is an anarchista, rebelde sin causa musico.
I would have appreciated if you'd said that Twitter follower as just something. Here's another something following us. Well, welcome. And
I have another one. It's Nicholas Jensen at Nicholas Jensen. And he's got a picture up here that says, House Stark. Because it must be that he hates House Stark so much.
He wants people to know.
Yeah, he wanted to mock him.
Well, thank you for following us. We also have Guns Bacardi. So Guns Bacardi. Bacardi? Is that how you say Guns Bacardi?
I don't know how it's said. Bacardi? I just know that you ruined it.
I should have said Guns something.
You destroyed it.
All right, so
Guns something.
That's Guns, G-U-N-N-S-B-A-K-A-R-D-Y.
Hey, and you can always follow us.
How can they?
Well, you can follow us on Twitter. My account is at CJGman67. And then there is Bubba's, which has a lot of T's and N's. So listen very carefully.
You can follow me, Bubba, on Twitter, at Fit and Trim. That's F-I-T-T-E-N-T-R-I-M, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Thank you guys so much. And now we got...
You know what? I was wrong.
You were wrong.
Yeah. There's a lot of T's, but there's only one N.
Right, but there's three T's. Like it. My enunciation, when I'm pronouncing the F, you think, boy, that sounds like an N. All right, so now, Catfish, we need to jump right into our T-shirt giveaway. Once again, if you're new, if you give us a review on the iTunes store, you enter a chance to win the Jafria Podcast T-shirts.
These are beautiful. And if you're not aware of what they look like, you can see it is the avatar for my Twitter account is the beautiful picture that Bubba put together. It is Joffrey against an American flag. What could be greater than...
He's our greatest hero.
He is our greatest American hero.
All right, so let's get to the Twitter reviews. And we had three new iTunes reviews. Excuse me, not Twitter. iTunes reviews this week, Catfish. And what's great is they're from three different countries. Now, in the last podcast, I think it was, we talked about how we have been to the Czech Republic. And this first review is from the Czech Republic.
All right.
Heck yeah. All right. So let's hear this iTunes review, Catfish.
All right. This is from Segovicis. You know what? You know what? I feel like we can't actually pronounce names. It's just people are really trying to mess with us.
What do you mean, cat feast?
Segovicis.
Yeah, what's he say?
Says, must listen podcast for Game of Thrones fans.
Oh, cool.
Absolutely true.
Five stars. Thank you.
Five stars. He says, amazing show full of smart comments and clever point of view on HBO Game of Thrones.
Oh, so thank you very much, Czech Republic.
I can only explain that review by the fact that in the Czech Republic, they don't really drink water or soda. It's just beer all the time.
Amen. Okay, so that, as our first review, you're going to get numbers 1 and 2 when we roll the big dice. Mm-hmm. Let's go to our next review. This is from the United Kingdom, Great Britain, from England. Actually, I don't know if it's from England. Could be from Wales.
But we have also been to Great Britain.
Well, I've been to Scotland. We have not been to Northern Ireland yet. I haven't been to Wales yet. I have an uncle who's Welsh. Remember, you've met my uncle who's Welsh. Uncle Roger.
Uncle Roger, who knows nothing about soccer.
Okay, here we go.
Great Welshman.
Here we go. And this review is by Johnny Owen. He says, the best Joffrey around. 5 stars.
Yes.
Thank you so much. He says, this is by far the best Game of Thrones podcast out there. There have been many a time when I am walking down the street listening to the podcast whilst getting funny looks from people since I'm smiling and giggling to myself as I walk. This is thanks to the funny hosts and also the presence of King Joffrey touching all our hearts.
Yes.
This podcast is a double P.
Double P?
A perfect podcast.
Yes.
Thank you, Johnny Owen. You are number 3 and 4 when we roll the big dice. Thank you, Johnny.
And I love Johnny because, you know what? It is a rare person who can use the term whilst correctly. And I love the term whilst.
We're going to use it. All right. So the drinking game for this episode is every time we say whilst,
whilst. I love it. Okay. So it's an homage to Johnny Owen.
All right.
Whilst you drink.
All right. So our third iTunes review comes from the U.S. of A, Catfish. Let's hear this.
I've been there too.
Okay. Let's hear it.
It's by Dreamland Warlord. Whoa.
Ooh, hey, hey.
And the title is A Dream of Joffrey.
5 stars again. Thank you guys so much.
He says, while...
Uh-oh.
He could have said,
don't drink.
Whilst.
Don't drink.
Wait, but I just said it, so you can't drink.
You can drink with Catfish.
Okay, but he says, while most of us wailed and lost all hope upon the death of our righteous king, these two stalwart warriors charged into the fray of misinformation and did champion the cause of straightening the unstraighteners. May all bards sing of their bravery and all maidens take heart. Sir Bubba and Sir Catfish will continue their holy fight for the return of his grace is nigh.
Oh, thank you very much, Dreamland Warlord. You're going to get numbers 5 and 6 in the big drawing. This is going to be for a The Joffrey of Podcast t-shirts.
Okay, let's do that. Let's just remind people.
All right, so.
Okay, so Segovesis
is
from the Czech Republic is 1 and 2.
We've got Johnny Owens from the UK iTunes store is 3 and 4 on the die. And Catfish, we have Dreamland Warrior is number 5 and 6 on the dice. This is to give away the Joffrey of Podcast t-shirt. Roll the
and
dice,
they're Catfish. Lovely, and... 2!
2! Oh my goodness, we're sending a t-shirt to the Czech Republic. Republic.
Nothing's more awesome than sending a t-shirt overseas.
All right, so Segovesis.
that was worse than when I said it.
Okay, yeah, I don't think so. Well, listen, when I'm watching those shadow puppet plays in Prague.
All right,
absolutely. Or when I'm down fighting the Whitewater Rapids in Chesky Krumlov, I love...
Checking out the bears.
Right, checking out the bears at the castle and the medieval theater.
That is not a three-diamond tour.
Rick Steves. All right, so anyway, we're going to send it to Czech Republic. To win your t-shirt, to claim your prize, just email me. That's Bubba. My email address is fitten@prodigy.net.
Wow, prodigy.net.
Email me your address and we'll get you this t-shirt. If you want to be... get one of these wonderful Joffrey Podcast t-shirts. All you need to do, folks, and you can be in our next drawing 2 weeks in the next episode by submitting a written review to iTunes and submitting it. We want to get rid of these great Joffrey t-shirts so we're all dressed with His Grace's face on our shirt by the time he comes back.
And remember, we've got large and extra large, although they run a little small. So let us know what size you want.
They run a little Uncle Tyrion, these t-shirts.
Little evil Uncle Tyrion.
All right, so let's get to this episode. It has adult content, adult language, graphic violence, and nudity.
It's missing something important.
What was that, the SC?
Yes, the sexual content.
And now for the second week in a row, I'm going to bring up just a minor nitpick, and it starts here in the credits. We see King's Landing, and it feels like we see King's Landing in almost every episode, but then it doesn't go to Dragonstone, even though the episode took place in Dragonstone. It flies completely over the Eyrie, even though we had scenes in the Eyrie there at the end. It shows the Dreadfort. There are no scenes of the Dreadfort. It flies to Winterfell, and we haven't actually had scenes in Winterfell. We've had scenes around Winterfell, but we haven't had scenes in Winterfell since the second season. Then it goes to the Wall, and okay, we do have scenes at the Wall, but then it flies to Braavos, and we have no scenes in Braavos. Finally, it ends up in everybody's favorite knot place to have a knot, Marine, and it shows us that. And so, how crazy it is. These credits, maybe that's why I'm only giving it 7 Joffreys out of 10.
Wow.
All right, so we open the episode, and it's like everybody's upset with evil Uncle Tyrion, and he is just not helping his cause. Evil Uncle Jaime told him, hey, in this trial, shut your yapper. But Tyrion, he couldn't do it. And so he was apparently upset about a lying whore.
Yes. I mean, if you're going to pay them, they should at least lie only by telling you that, yes, you're the biggest they've ever
had. Right, and this is great, and they're enjoying it. That's how exactly. The whore should lie.
Yes.
But they instead
lie. This is a bad kind of lie.
This is the bad worst kind of whore kind lie. Of lie. Now, Tyrion, call me crazy. Even though evil Uncle Jaime has lost his fighting hand, it feels like to me that Tyrion wanted evil Uncle Jaime to be his champion.
In fact, it not just wanted, seems like he expected it.
Yeah, ouch. And why do you think evil Uncle Jaime said no? Outside of the fact that he couldn't win, but why do you think evil Uncle Jaime said, no, evil Uncle Tyrion, I won't be your champion?
I think it was simply because of that. He seems to have soured on Cersei.
Right.
Apparently, she is no longer giving him her affections.
Right.
This continues the whole idea that the producers had no idea how this scene in the Sept of Baelor would come off.
Right, amen.
Because instead of Jaime being bad, Jaime's like, well, she's just out of her mind now.
Yeah, and Tyrion...
Did you think he was still... That he still didn't want to do it to go against Cersei?
You know what? I honestly thought that evil Uncle Jaime wants Tyrion to live. That's what we saw last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's just being honest that there is absolutely no way that he can win. He said he couldn't couldn't beat a stable boy with his right hand.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You asked me if I thought there was anything else.
Well,
and I said no. And now I'm asking you, and you're dancing around it. Tell me your real feelings.
This is an audio podcast, so you can't see me dancing, folks. But imagine Michael Jackson after he died. That's my dancing skill. So Tyrion's like, well, go get Bronn. Bronn will fight for me. And he's like...
But by the way, we have a great segue here. Yeah.
He's like, well, who's going to be the champion? And it's not Ser Meron Trant, who we saw last week.
And then we cut to somebody being shish kebabbed.
Right. Somebody being... Whilst Tyrion and Jaime are talking,
yes,
somebody is being shish kebabbed by our new... version of the mountain. We had one mountain who, the best mountain was in season one, but that guy, I think he upset the producers, and then he went to go star as like an org or something in the Hobbit trilogy. So they got a second guy to play the mountain in season two, and he was just way too skinny. So now they have a third mountain, and while this guy is almost as
huge,
buff as Joffrey, he's almost as strong. It's like when I first saw him, I thought, has Joffrey grown a beard? But no, it wasn't Joffrey, it was the mountain. But this guy, he's certainly strong enough, but the problem is he looks younger than the Hound, and he's supposed to be the Hound's older brother.
Well,
look at
we've got another age problem I want to talk about later on that's come up. But what I like is Cersei says something about getting to the capital fast, and I want to know, what kind of thing does he ride on? He cannot get on a regular horse.
No.
I mean, he will break that horse's back.
He would have to get on like an ox. And I guess this was...
But oxen are slow. He couldn't have gotten to the capital that fast.
Now, well, this is... Well, okay. You have that question mark. I have a question mark of... I suppose Cersei wants him to train for this trial by combat. But sending out what look like starving prisoners to fight against... I'm not sure that's really getting him that ready.
I don't think he's preparing for combat. I just think he's got a new sword. And
he's got to break it up. Yeah,
he's
got to break it in sometimes.
On something soft.
Amen.
Like starving people's bodies.
And the Hound asks her, who am I fighting? And Cersei says, does it matter? And the Hound, because he's paid by the word, he just shakes his head. He's like, I cannot answer. So now we cut from the young-looking the Mountain to his older-looking younger brother,
right,
the Hound. And he
and whilst Cersei is talking Drake, to the Mountain,
right,
we now get Odd Couple A.
Odd Couple number A. Well, you don't think Mother Cersei and the Mountain were Odd Couple number one.
Yeah, but they're not on a. They're not traveling on. Okay. They're not on the road.
Okay, fair enough. So we cut to this for a couple with horses. This is taking the longest amount of time. This is 7 episodes. They've been traveling from the Twins, where the evil Freys live, to the Eyrie, and this is 7. And technically, they were traveling in episode 10 of last year when they came across some people escaping from the Twins. So they are taking their own sweet time, and they come across this barn, and they come across this guy. And how do I say it? This guy, he's got a stomach full of jelly like Santa, but Santa's normally doesn't pus like this. You know what I mean?
That is
catfish.
True. And they get involved in a very, I'm going to call it a very, like a philosophy 101 discussion about
right.
the meaning of life, the meaning of nothing. Is right. this worse than nothing?
Right.
Is it better than Mike something?
Yeah. It really, one thing I honestly thought is they're asking this guy who's got this terrible wound, they're like, why do you keep going on? And he says, he mentions that Joffrey's dead, and I think that was his point. The king is dead, he says. I think that was his point, that he was trying to say, kill me.
If Joffrey's not around, just kill me.
It's
less than the wound is hurting him, that he's just so despondent he can't, because of Joffrey, that he can't get up and move. See, then they get into a whole thing. Nothing could be worse than this. Maybe nothing is worse than this.
And she's like, no, nothing isn't better or worse than anything. Nothing is nothing. And this is, what was that song? Nothing from nothing is something.
Yes. No, but what we're very clear on.
I'm not clear on anything. You're
not clear on anything?
But she told this guy she was Arya of House Stark of Winterfell. And this poor guy, do you think he just doesn't know all the royal families in all the great houses?
You think they know?
Right.
You think they know, but maybe what happened is, the reason why it's taken them so long is they're completely lost. They're in an area.
They crossed the narrow sea.
He's in like, fact, they're in an alternate timeline where there is a guy called King Joffrey, okay. But the Starks never existed. Okay, that's what I call the happier timeline.
This is very true. This is very true. So anyway, the Hound, I thought it was a bit shocking when the Hound gives this guy kind of a last request. The guy asks for water. Give me water. The Hound gives him some water, but then the Hound also gives him a heart shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he gives him what he wants. You know what the thing was? The guy, here's what happened.
What happened?
The guy said, can you give me something to drink?
Right.
And the Hound gives him some water. And then he says he wishes it was wine. And the Hound is like, whiner.
Ouch, that was not nice of the Hound. But now that you say that, now that is the kind of the subtext.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he's it's like, you know, all people want to just complain.
On this.
Now, I have to be honest. Mm-hmm. I was very shocked at this thing that happens next. And I think I almost went, whoa.
I think you did.
When a character known as Biter comes up and just starts biting the Hound's neck. It starts going crazy. It totally shocked me that this was happening.
Well, it was shot very well because we thought, a little scene over, and then the guy jumps over him. Right. And then a little snappy of the neck.
Ouch.
And then you know what? Again, another thing that happened this episode is, even though they're in an alternate world, it turns out that Westeros is also a small, small world.
Right,
actually.
Right.
This is the first of two times this episode where we come across a character you would think no one would ever run into again.
Right. Well, this is our good buddy Rorsch. Now, we
don't
like
good buddy.
He's my good buddy. He followed King Joffrey. Now, good old Rorsch. You know, this tells you that this whole place is just bizarre. Because Rorsch, he and the Biter joined up with the Lannisters, remember, after they escaped the cage that they were in going to the Night's Watch. And now, theoretically, that the war is over, they're just out trying to collect a bounty on the evil of the Hound.
Now, this is, but for me, this was a super funny bit.
Where she just took him, she just took out little.
Well,
Neil.
He's like, is he on your list? And she's like, I don't know his name. Says his name, bam. She gives him a hard shot because he was ready to whine too. But you know what she also does?
What?
She didn't just learn the hard shot. She learned once you're done killing somebody, always wipe your weapon on their
corpse.
Clothes.
Right.
Just to give them a little last extra.
Yeah,
okay, and now, whilst they are traveling,
yes,
John Schnoop. Has come back right. On his very, what he thinks was a successful foray.
Right. He's like, the Night's Watch needs men, so I took these 8 men out, and about 4 of us came back.
By the way, did I just say foray as if it were French?
Yes.
Okay, did. Let's move on.
You said it like it was in the Czech Republic. Foray.
Foray.
All right. So these are good buddies at the wall, the good, heroic, Joffrey-esque leaders, and that is Beardy McBeardison.
Baldy McBeardison. Baldy
McBeardison. They realize how much the effects cost of having a dire wolf, so they're like, go put it in a pen.
Go put him away.
Go put him in a pen.
And I have to say, maybe it's because it's against ground, and the dragons are against the sky. I don't think the wolves VFX is as good as the dragon VFX.
Oh, you want to know this? I mean, let's have this aside conversation, and that is that I honestly think that the wolves look best when it's against the white of the snow.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when you've seen Ghost up north of the wall, like at God rest his soul, Uncle Craster's, or in other places, he looks good there. Where gray wind in real life settings never worked as good. In this particular shot where they're trying to put Ghost into this first shot, it is just not a good composition.
You know what it is,
the
too?
Angle's wrong.
Yeah. It's also because I think they've decided not to CGI.
Right.
So they're taking a regular dog and blowing him up. But unfortunately, they're not having that regular dog do anything interesting.
Well, right. They have him. They sometimes, you know, they have him kill.
I mean, he's
somebody.
Like looking the wrong way over there, and then he says, "Come on, Ghost."
Right. The angle wasn't right.
Ghost just looks not looking. Ghost is kind of loping in an.
Would you have preferred they stuck with the right dogs, the actual dogs ahead in the first season, Catfish? What's crazy is the dogs would never get to the natural size that the dire wolves of the book do,
yeah,
but they were very believable.
But because they don't, because you don't see him that much and it looks weird. I'm still not getting a sense that they're like that huge. Good. Like if they had just bigger dogs, I think that would be more scary.
Okay, so then we cut inside, and Baldy McBeardison, who's known as Jano Slint, and Alistair Thorne, the mean, cruel drill sergeant who's currently in charge of the wall, mm-hmm. they're having a big talk. John Snow said, hey, as we were leaving Craster's, we saw the fires of Mansa's army. They'll be here, what he said, in a month or the full moon? What did he say
again? I got to say, I've worked in a lot of offices.
Yeah.
And what this is basically is, it's just bad office politics right Amen. Here. John Snow's just gotten on the wrong side of the district manager, and it's just never going to be good for him.
And he is pretty much like the people at the hotel who change the sheets. You know, he's a steward. And so would right. you ever want the steward telling the hotel manager, hey, we got to close the entrance?
Well, it depends. If the steward actually went out and got to bone some fire crotch, maybe I would.
So Jon Snow, his point here is that they should just seal the wall with rocks and ice and let it freeze. And Alistair Thorne's like, what are you doing? Then there will be no way we can go out on rangings. And
this, again, I'm going to say this is the worst of office politics, because a lot of people might think, there's no way this guy would ignore, even if he hates Jon Snow, he would ignore him. Because it's the consequences would be so bad. But in a true office politics, some people don't care about doing a good job. They just want to get over on you.
All right. Well, let's take this debate. Let's take it right now.
Okay.
You will take the side of evil Jon Snow.
Okay.
Of sealing it up. Even Gren was on your side. He's like, "There's, mm-hmm. you know, we can't defend it." Well, I will take the correct side of Alistair Thorne. So, all right. So let's hear it. Why okay. should you seal up the tunnel in the wall?
There's 100,000 people. They're going to come streaming through that tunnel, and that's our best way to keep them out, is to close off that easily accessible place for them to come right through.
Okay, I see your point, and I will counterpoint with, I'm in charge. Next item of business.
All right. We'll see how that went.
How do you like that? That's pretty good, huh? Now, there's also this bit about Jon Snow saying, I've seen giants. What do you think? It feels like Alistair Thorne has seen them, especially from an earlier scene where Baldy McBeardison, Jano Slint, mm-hmm. was trying to make a laugh when Jon Snow said he had seen a giant. And Alistair Thorne was pretty serious. So what do you think there? Do you think...
Yeah, again, it's just, you know, he hates the young whippersnappers. Right. He's afraid that he's going to get retired early mm-hmm. and that he won't be able to afford his boat anymore.
Right.
You know, the one that he's got dug because the docking fees are so expensive. And, you know, it's just this younger generation. They think they know everything.
And so what's interesting is they go to a builder. They say the builders are in charge of the tunnel, and they say, first builder, Yarick. Yarwick, I forget how, let's see. They go, well, what do you think? It's your job. What do you think? And what's interesting is Yarwick here, this actor has been on the show since season one, but in season one he was supposed to be Bowen Marsh, and now they've just kind of switched him to Yarwick, nice. Probably because they're going to cast a different actor as Bowen Marsh maybe down the line. And so,
I like this guy's response because he's like, okay, I know the young kid is right, but this other dude, my boss will make my life a living hell right. if I say he's wrong.
Right, exactly right. And so what do you think of this move? Alistair Thorne puts Snow and the craven Samuel Tarly up on top of the wall until the first moon.
Well, that's because he's trying to keep him from going to HR.
All right. He's also, this is a very subtle point, which my boy Alistair Thorne is making a good thing. He's like, hey, I want a lot of barrels of pitch brought atop the wall. And you know what pitch is used for?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
We're tarring a roof.
Okay, fair enough. I think it's the idea is they'll drop it on evil mans.
Got it. So, okay, and now, whilst.
Drink.
Samwell and Jon Snow are going to the wall, we're back in the...
Evil Uncle Tyrion's cell.
Yeah, this is scene 2 of 3 in Evil Uncle Tyrion's cell. It's like this prison has the best visitation policies anywhere.
Right. It's like Orange is the New Black, except Tyrion's wearing, would you call that brown? So brown mm-hmm. is the new black here. And so we have Sir Bronn, who comes in with very fancy clothes. Do you like this outfit, Catfish?
I do, actually. You know what? I love everything about Bronn, because he knows, like, you know, shit turned out way better than I ever had a right to expect.
Right, and he's like, I'm going to marry this hilarious book character named Lawless Stokeworth. And Tyrion's like, well, what's the point? She's the second daughter, so it's not like she'll inherit.
Right, but Bronn's like, well, that's only true as long as she's still alive when the father dies.
Right, he's like, a lot of women fall off a horse. Mm-hmm. Do you put it past Bronn, Tyrion's cutthroat, to kick a woman off a horse?
You know, he's kind of a rascally guy. Right. I wouldn't mind it if he did.
And so Bronn knows what's up. He's like, you want me to be your champion and to kill the mountain. What's in it for me?
And he says also, it better be twice as good as what I was offered, because right. Remember we had a deal. Yeah. I'd give you a shot, but you'd better make it worth my while. Man. So I think Bronn is being, you know, he's being very reasonable.
Amen.
He's giving him a chance to better the deal.
Now, what did you think about Tyrion's option? Tyrion's like, if you survive this, I'm married to Sansa. I'll get Winterfell. One day, you can have Winterfell.
I'm with Bronn on that because, first of all, as Bronn says, like, this guy, is, like, I'm just going to have to run him around and tire him and then maybe get lucky. And then, even though he's married to Sansa, Sansa's nowhere to be found. I mean, it is a far road to go to think that this is going to work out for Tyrion.
Now, I have to be honest. I thought it was a bit shocking.
Again?
One time, I'll be honest. So I thought it was a bit shocking that Tyrion didn't ask Bronn about Shay the Funny Whore. Because way back in season two of this season, remember, Tyrion
season,
thought she...
This season had its own season?
Yes.
Season two of this season?
Yes. So, Tyrion...
Earlier this season... Tyrion had Bronn put her on a boat,
get
Bronn
her out of town.
And said, she's on the boat.
He's like, she's on the boat, don't worry about her.
She's on a boat, y'all!
But Tyrion, obviously, she came back, like, wouldn't Tyrion want to know what happened with her? He doesn't ask Bronn.
The interesting question is, and we'll have to see if we're ever going to get the answer to this... is whether we're going to get any more information about why Shay did what she did.
I hope
Do
we
you
find
feel
out.
Like you have enough information based on
the show?
The show?
Not at all. No, okay. But it still feels like Bronn and evil Uncle Tyrion are still a bit friends at the end of the scene.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I can't fight for you, but I want you to try.
Tyrion also says, hey, you know, the whole, you know, I don't mind that you're a heartless, money-grubbing bastard. That's the reason why we're bros.
Right, okay, so then we cut across the narrow sea.
Whilst
across drink. The summer sea, the sunset sea, or whatever it is, the summer sea, all the way to the Slaver's Bay and Marine. And what do we have? We have Daenerys, and it's me, New Dario.
And New Dario... Man, I like the brass on this guy. She's like, my doors are locked, and he's like, I climbed up the wall.
Right, and this is the part that I thought New Dario was a bit stupid on. He's like, hey, these flowers are, I saw them growing out on an island, and I swam all the way to the island to get you flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Does he not remember that a couple episodes ago he says that he took all the marine ships? You know, Daenerys should be like, hey, I want guys who are smart. You got a bunch of ships. Why do you swim all the way to the world? But anyway, he's like, I've got two talents, and their talents are what I like to call double W.
WW?
War and women.
Oh, that's WAW. Wow.
All right.
So it's great. And he's like, let me practice one or both of those. And you know what's interesting is?
What?
Up to this point, you know, she knew what he was doing.
Right.
But do you think she was just like, all right, let's see what your goods are? Or do you think she needs a little male companionship?
Well, he says here an important line. He says, my sword is yours until the day I die. And you know what a euphemism for sword is?
Pencil?
Exactly right. So he'll write anything she wants.
Okay, great.
And pretty.
I'm just trying to figure out whether it's because it was him or she was just like, all right, you're here. I mean, we know any port in a storm except for right. Friend Zone Jorah.
Right, so what did you think, Catfish? You think Daenerys is very lovely,
mm-hmm.
and so...
Right here, she's like, do what you do best, and then she sits down and she's like, impress me. Now, let's remember,
yeah.
Khal Drogo was a tall dude.
And strong dude, buff dude, yeah. Almost as strong as Joffrey.
So I'm just wondering if there a possible alternate version of this is he drops his trousers and she's like, not enough.
Right. She's like, I want you to spend the rest of the night trying to be as big as
Joe. I'm going to refer to you as Cal No-No from now on. So he drops trowel.
He does. Right?
And she's like, bam.
Was that a butt double, Catfish?
No, I think that's actually the butt. Why not? The guy.
And Daenerys takes it all
and
in.
Then there's a knock. And I think, all right, we're going to see some beautiful
Daenerys
body. Daenerys body. And what do we get? I mean, I guess I could say I'm not complaining, but I am
complaining. You are complaining.
I'm
you
complaining.
Are complaining. We
so,
cut.
So whilst they're getting busy, something Drink. I'd rather see.
Right.
We're taking to Melisandre taking a bath.
So we cut to Dragonstone, wasn't open in the opening credits, and we have a scene of...
By the way, can we just refer to Melisandre from now on as Tiny Nips? Let's just call her Tiny Nips from now on.
You can, Catfish, okay, if you want. All right. Whilst you're saying that, I will be describing her as beautiful Melisandre. So Melisandre okay. is in a bath, and she's...
There's a little fun bit there where she's like, don't... No, I want that one. No, not that one, my God, right. if you even breathe on it.
So she's having a bath, and she's topless, and in comes Selyse, Stannis' wife. And I honestly...
She is a chuckle a second, this one.
Right. So I got to be honest with you, Catfish.
Again? That's the second time.
Drink. Even though Melisandre's beautiful, and I like watching this beauty in slow motion, often by myself with the lights out.
Dude, skip ahead.
Oh, sorry. So I think this scene is just ridiculously gratuitous. What was the point of this scene?
I have no idea what the point of the scene was, unless they thought, you know what? Khaleesi's not going to give us any breasts. Let's bring on Tiny Nips.
All right. So I guess there may be a couple of points of this scene, and maybe the first point of this scene is that Selyse Baratheon, she has said before, and she even says in this scene, she's like, anything done in service of the Lord of Light is fine.
Right, but again, we've heard that already. We get it.
But we maybe see some cracks in this when she keeps looking at Melisandre's, let's be honest, rather beautiful body. And maybe Selyse is feeling jealous. And she's feeling, you know, maybe she wonders that maybe it was wrong.
It's still not enough. It's still not enough to give this scene. I mean, again, the scene's justified just by the fact that we get Tiny Nips,
right?
Naked.
Sure, but it's very interesting. She, you know, Melisandre's trying to cheer her up, saying, "Hey, Stannis. He's just a typical man. He wants what he can't have. He can't have Joffrey's crown. He can't have, he's got your body, Selyse. Now he wants somebody who can give him a
you
son."
You know, the one thing that Selyse and Stannis do share,
yeah,
their amazing sense of humor,
right. But then we get to another point of this scene, and it turns out...
Earlier, again, which could have been handled very quickly in some other scene.
Quicker and smarter. And so anyway, it turns out that, remember, Melisandre said, this is the last good bath I'm going to have for some time, and that they are seemingly leaving. And Selyse wants to leave the daughter behind here on the castle and island of Dragonstone. But Melisandre's like, hey, we got to look into the fire. We got to ask the LOL...
LOL.
Lord of Light.
Lord of Light, got it.
I see people saluting the Lord of Light on Twitter all the time. They're like, you know, Lord of Light.
Right, right, right.
So they're like, we got to...
At least the Lord of Light has a sense of humor.
Right, so they're like, we got to check in the flames. We got to see if we're supposed to bring daughter Shireen Baratheon, the girl with grayscale on her face, this great disease called
now,
grayscale.
Why do you think... Why don't you put your thinking cap on, Bubba?
Let's put it on.
Since this scene seems to be all about nudity and bringing Shireen along, why do you think they need Shireen?
That's a great question.
She's used royal blood before to do bad things. Do you think that's possible? She might want to use, you know, Shireen's blood?
Well, you are definitely getting to some great thoughts there, Catfish. So let's go through the whole season. We know that at the very first time we saw these guys, back in episode 2, I believe it was, that Selyse wanted to beat Shireen, mm-hmm. and Stannis said no. But now Stannis has gone to Braavos, and he's left the wife here. And then we also know from past seasons that it's king's blood helps. You know, the blood of kings helps in spells. So I think you've nailed it. Are they bringing Shireen along? So if they get into any trouble in this battle trying to take Joffrey's throne, they could just... you know, put another kid on the Barbie.
Well, the question I have regarding that is, I mean, Stannis hasn't been crowned. So does he really count as King's Blood, or does it count because his brother was king? It seems a little iffy to me. Like, I could say, oh, I'm king, go ahead and grab my son.
Oh, you are? Here, blood, give me blood. Well, no, but, well, this is, you know, I don't deal in LOL magic, Catfish.
Right, right.
And so I guess it's kind of like, if you think you're king, you're king. And so maybe your blood's special. And so what's great is Joffrey's blood, always the best. Like, think if you just burned, like, a drop of Joffrey's blood and said...
It would be a huge conflagration.
Right, it could change the world. You'd be like, hey, you know what? All these Starks are driving me crazy. A drop of blood,
you know what, if you burnt it?
What?
That would be the biggest fire the North has ever seen.
Oh, no!
Yes.
Oh, no, that why? Oh, my goodness gracious. And what you're saying, Captain, is they're saying Joffrey's blood will light the biggest fire the North has ever seen and take out those evil Starks like Jon Snow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Catfish, you have done some incredible, incredible spoiling right now.
My mind is just, you know, I'm just going on a spirit walk. I looked in the fire earlier, and I'm just seeing everything.
I think you breathed in a
lot
of smoke. Except
for Khaleesi's naked body.
So the next morning, we see Adario walking out, and he's putting on his clothes, and
you think this is a little uncomfortable for Jorah, but not for Dario, who's like, yeah, singing this morning. Yeah. She's got a little pep in her step.
Right. She's whistling. She's had the greatest night ever.
And Jorah stuck looks in the friend zone.
Jorah looks PO'd. And look at this outfit Khaleesi is wearing.
Gorgeous.
The only person who would look better in an outfit like that is Joffrey.
You have told me repeatedly.
Yes. Well, yes.
Or maybe not repeatedly. You've intimated
that
it's not her. She's not the one who said she didn't want to do any more nudity. However, ever since that story came out, she has not done anything.
No. See, the story, Catfish, forgive me. That story came out in season 2, and she did nudity in season 3. So, you tell me, Dr. Watson.
Well, I thought the true story was that it was the whore.
Yeah, it was exactly. You saw, what's her name, Shay the Funny Whore, be nude in season 1, but you never saw her be nude again.
Oh.
Okay. But maybe it was Daenerys.
I don't know. I feel like with Khaleesi, like Jorah, I'm now stuck in the friend zone.
You are in the friend zone with Khaleesi. So Jorah, he doesn't like this at all. And he is very PO'd. He's like, you can't trust Dario. He cut off the heads of his captains. He's just an untrustworthy guy. You got to get rid of this jerk. And especially don't fool around with him when you could fool around with me.
Right.
Sir Jorah the Perf.
And she's like, speaking of Dario and head.
So she has sent Dario off to retake Yun Kai and kill all the masters there. And Jorah is like, listen, you know, you're accusing these slave masters of treating people like beasts. If you just go and kill them, you know, you're treating them like beasts. And so you're kind of no different. Do you agree with that logic, Catfish?
I mean, you know, it's an old saw. You know, it seems to me like we're having some very simple conversations this episode. We had Philosophy 101.
Okay, yeah.
And now we have War 101. It's like, if it's like, who's watching the Watchers? If, you know, even though you think you're doing it for right, if you do the same thing.
Now, Jorah's like, there's good and evil on both sides of a war. But I think he hasn't seen Joffrey fight. Because
that's
he would
know
there's
know.
Only good on one side.
Well, he's been gone all that time. And he mentions the only reason he's around is because of wimpy Ned Stark.
Well, no, Ned Stark wanted to kill him. Ned Stark wanted to treat him like Daenerys was going to treat him. And he ran from it. He's like, I sold men into slavery, Khaleesi. And she's like, and now you're helping me show them freedom. Isn't it ironic? It's like, raid on your wedding. And anyway, he's like, listen, Ned Stark.
I wouldn't be here.
If Ned Stark had caught me, I would be dead and I wouldn't be helping you. And so it looks like she pays attention to this. And she's like, go get Hisdar, my good boy Hisdar, and have him accompany the second sons, and he'll serve as my ambassador to Yun Kai.
And he will give the masters a choice. Now, again, this does seem like kind of like a Hobson's choice. It's either pay attention to me and do everything I say, or get crushed underneath my Dario heel.
Now, Jorah seems to very happy. She's like, go tell Dario that I've changed my mind. And then she's like, no, tell him you've changed my mind.
And he, let me tell you something, like a true guy in a friend zone, he takes any scrap of hope.
I know.
He is beaming.
Now, I have to be honest here, Catfish. I think Khaleesi Daenerys is doing what I like to call MMM.
Double M.
Mixed messages.
She
knows Jorah has a hard-on for her, and she's, you know, throwing him these bones, and she, or more like no. She's throwing him something so he can have a bone.
See, and I disagree.
You disagree.
I think you're looking at it from Jorah's point of view.
Always. I am the old guy who wants to get busy with Khaleesi. I'm in the friend zone.
She's not giving him mixed messages.
Oh, no. Okay.
He's interpreting them as mixed messages. She's making it very clear. She said, you're a good advisor, but that blue scarf turns me off. I wish you would at least change it. Maybe a red one, yellow. Give me something.
So whilst that is happening,
we cut
to what I thought was the place where the dragon flew out of the canyon last episode.
Could be.
Honestly, it looks like the exact same place, but this is supposed to be a place in Westeros, not in Essos.
All right, and this is scene two of Odd Couple A.
Odd Couple A, and it is our good friend, the evil hound, who likes saying F of King Joffrey, and evil Arya Stark. And Arya's like, listen, your wound is going to get affected. You're going to get a Drogo if you don't clean that wound. But he's like, I'm afraid of fire because I'm not strong like Joffrey.
He is a scaredy cat of fire. Let me tell you something.
He's a scaredy hound of fire.
If you know what they say, if you show a gun in the first act, it has to go off in the third act. If he does not get taken down by fire.
Oh, I see what
there's no justice in this world.
No justice whatsoever. And so what's so interesting about this, Catfish, is that these two, it's like flip an episode. You flip a coin, you flip an episode. Heads or tails. Meaning sometimes these two act like they're friends, evil anti-Joffrey people, and sometimes they act like they want to kill each other.
Well, again, you know, it's like they see what works, and I still feel this works. But it's the same exact thing that happened with Jaime and Brienne last season, where you know, I think George R. R. Martin is trying to say something, or at least the producer is trying to say something, and it's like, you know what? It's the same thing that Friendzone George just said to us. There's good and evil in everybody, and all you have to do is hang out with them, and then you'll get into some funny buddy adventures.
All right, so what you're saying is we want all 13-year-old girls to hang out with evil killers in real life, and then they'll have some great adventures and fun times.
Well, not only that, but, you know, he's helping her. He's helping her to be the kind of girl she wants to be, which is vicious and stabby.
And so he's like, look, you thought you were all alone because those double S's have been killed. And he's like, I'm all alone because, you know, my dad stuck up for my brother when he stuck my face in the fire.
Which is odd because if the dad stuck up for him,
he stuck up for the mountain. Not
right.
The mountain.
So if that story was kind of, there was telling a different story when it happened a long, long time ago, it's interesting that Arya would have heard the true story. Like that story must have spread like wildfire among the peasants for her to hear it so far away.
Well, you don't remember, Littlefinger told Sansa Stark that story back in season one. Let me tell you, we've heard this double F story many times.
Double F.
Face fire. We've heard the double F face fire story many times.
We have.
And so whilst this is happening, guess what's happening?
Drink.
We go to a pie, and I, as soon as I saw that pie and I saw this set, I knew exactly where we were, Catfish, and who we were going to see.
Did you really?
I did. I knew we would see Hot Pie. Oh, this is so great.
So again, this is the second time that shows that Westeros is a small, small place.
Even though
some people can take 8 episodes to get from one place to another.
Right. I thought, well, once again, you're going to have to assume that the Hound and Arya are not on the road because she's an evil Stark and he's a traitor.
Right.
And so we assume the reason why Brienne and Pod can move so fast is they can take the road because nobody wants to kill them. But they run into Hot Pie. It was so wonderful to see Hot Pie. Wonderful, wonderful.
The great thing about him, he has not lost his spirit. He does not shut up about making pies.
Right. Don't get him started on the gravy.
My God, it's the gravy that does it.
And so what's interesting is a bit like, you know, I hate to be terrible. It's a bit like that scene with Selyse and Melisandre.
Yes.
In that it takes forever to get to the point, and the point is kind of hidden. So as soon as you saw Hot Pie, you knew he was going to mention Arya Stark, I think. I think it was obvious. And so the fact that we had this really silly pie routine, the fact that we had all this stuff, it was like, and I know the scene's probably only 4 minutes.
But it's still like, I thought the pie was funny.
Oh, well, I like Hot Pie, but I have to be honest, I send your hate mail to @fitandtrim on Twitter. I am not the biggest fan of this odd couple, odd couple number two.
Yes, and odd couple two. That is Brienne and Pod.
You know, it's like, I kind of think this is not the greatest point.
Do you know why?
Why?
It's because they're not, it's not as interesting because they're not as mismatched as the other couples have been. Brienne and Jaime. Okay. You know, the Hound and Arya, very mismatched here. And we love Pod, but only because I'm still jealous, because the ladies love them some Pod.
LL Cool Pod. All right. LL and Cool P. So, he's trying to tell Brienne, he's like, look, people want to catch Sansa.
Shush.
Quit flapping your yapper. And then...
Out comes HP.
Out comes the Hot Pie.
Hot Pie.
I love Hot Pie, man. And he's like, you know, I don't know Sansa Stark, but I do know her sister Arya Stark. And there's a nice little eye exchange. And I do great eye work in my acting.
Yeah, you absolutely
great
do.
Great eye work there between Brienne and Pod. And they're like,
what's great about your eye work is you can be really far away and still get
right,
it.
Right, right. My eye work works great for the back seats, the cheap seats.
It does.
In
like a
stadiums.
Thousand. Right, right. Oh, yes. Yeah,
when
football
I'm doing, you know what I'm doing, my shows.
It can
my
be
improv.
Seen.
All right.
Can be seen.
So Hot Pie comes out and he kind of gives the whole backstory. He's like, okay. So we escape with an eight squad.
Yeah, skip ahead.
Skip ahead. Hot
Pie, shut up. So he gives them some information, which, again, what I love about this road is, you know, I wish there's more crows, because people get so much old, out-of-date information on this show. They don't know what's going on, which is more realistic than when people actually know what's happened a week after it happens.
And Hot Pie has perfected his dire wolf bread. It looks a lot better. But also, you know, the Starks are evil. Why, you know, people are like, why are you cooking this stuff, Hot Pie?
They could be in trouble if they're found out with bread, with the Stark.
Traitor bread,
traitor bread, exactly.
All right, so Pod is like, listen, the Brotherhood isn't going to trade her at Riverrun anymore because the Freys control it. They would, the Brotherhood would trade Arya to Lords of the Vale, Arya's aunt. Liza. And so what's interesting here is Brienne at times sounds like she's not too convinced, but Pod's like, hey, she could be there. And Brienne's like, eh.
Well, the thing is, Brienne doesn't, you know, for someone who's trying to find somebody, she really didn't keep her nose to the ground as far as who hates who, et cetera. So at least Pod was good for something. This is better than his rabbit cooking skills.
So they come to a fork in the road. And I guess the way we're supposed to take this is there's a road goes to the right, and maybe that goes north, and Brienne and Pod go to the road to the right, which maybe goes east to the ear.
So I guess I wasn't paying close attention. I just assume that they went the way Pod went, but it wasn't clear from their reactions, like, did they go the way Pod went?
Who knows? That's
all
a
right.
Good point. Who knows? But I don't know. Why have that conversation if you're not going to then...
Okay, so whilst that's happening...
Drink.
We go back to, again, a lot of recurring scenes this week. We're back to scene number three, visitor number three for Tyrion.
And it's our boy Oberyn Martell.
Man, we love this dude.
And Tyrion gets off, evil Uncle Tyrion gets off a funny here. He's like, I'm in this filth, but not the kind of filth I love. Whores. And Oberyn's like, yeah, I had a great time with the hot blonde the other day. Wait, it's your sister.
And he's like, oh, not that. That's too filthy for me.
Oberyn apparently saw through Mother Cersei's attempt to get him to kill evil Uncle Tyrion.
And this is why I love this dude, because he is a straight mother flipping shooter.
Right. And so he's like, what's interesting, though, is he finally mentions that he had actually met Tyrion beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he also explains that he met Cersei beforehand. But...
And again, this came up, and this has come up before, and I feel like even though it's been mentioned, it bothers me every time it's very much highlighted that Tyrion is the youngest of the Lannisters.
Because you think in real life he's probably the oldest of the actors.
In the real life, he's got to be at least 5 years older than the eldest of those two.
I'll take that bet. Let's have a bet right now. What's going to be the prize, Catfish? I think Peter Dinklage is within at least 5 years of... Lena.
Okay, who are you going to say is older? You're going to say Lena's older?
No, I think Dinklage is the oldest, but I bet he's only older a year or two.
Okay, well, let's see. Who do you think is the oldest, though, between Jaime and Cersei?
Ooh, I think Lena Headey. Who do you think? I think it goes probably Dinklage, Headey, and
okay, now this
Nikolai
is
going to
be trouble because, you know, sometimes when
actors
you look up
actresses,
information, there is this not good information.
All right, let's do
it. So right now, here's the quick.
How about
test.
This? Let's have a little. We love Fireball.
Yes.
Why don't we have a bet for a little Fireball here? So,
all right,
all
I love
right.
it.
So you're saying Dinklage is at least 5 years older than
the oldest of the two.
Fair enough. Okay.
So I'll take either way. Okay. So Lena Headey is 40.
Oh, I got this. If she's 40, I got this.
I don't know
I got
about
this.
That.
You think
I don't
Dinklage
know about
is 45? Well, he could be. He could be.
Dinklage has been around forever. Remember, I mean, how old was he when he did that first independent movie?
You mean the station agent?
No. No, he did. He was in that movie that was making fun of Brad Pitt. That independent director did a movie making fun of Brad Pitt, and he was in a dream sequence.
I don't remember.
Peter Dinklage was born, oh, I think you win, but only by a year. He was born in 1969. He is 44 years old.
Oh, I won. I won.
Oh, you're killing me. But he's older and
he's
looks older than both of them.
He looks older than
okay,
both of them.
Okay, so, but we think that
Coster Waldo,
Jaime Lannister, is the youngest of all of them, right?
Right, okay.
If not, at least he has taken good care of himself.
Whilst Catfish Drink is looking up Nikolai Coster-Waldau's age, I want to say that there was a great funny line in this scene where Oberyn Martell says, Cersei wanted him so dead, he goes,
yeah,
but... It's rare to meet a Lannister who shares my enthusiasm for dead Lannisters.
That's,
that's
what
a pretty
we love
good,
him
that's pretty
he
good
gets
line.
It out. He gets
that's
it out.
That's a pretty good line, Prince Oberyn. I like that a lot.
Oh, so what's great about this is that, I mean, you know what? I love this dude. Because we hear Dinklage is so good saying his stuff, but, I mean, this guy who plays
Oberyn Martell,
you know, he's strong, he's got a good sense of humor, but he's got a little... gets a little glassy-eyed when he's talking about his sister.
Well, let me say something. He is great in this role, but I actually, to be completely honest, I love this character in the book so much that I searched him up once they said they'd cast him, and I watched him on this, I think it's a TNT or USA show called Graceland, about undercover cops who work out of this house.
Yeah.
And he had a bit part in that, and he was really just kind of bland and nondescript on that show. So I didn't know he'd be this good, but he is really good. And so he tells the story. It's slightly differently than in the books. To give you guys an example, non-book readers, the most minor of details. He went with his mother to Casterly Rock, but in this telling of the story, he went with his father.
By the way,
it doesn't really matter that
much. For those of you betting at home,
yeah.
It actually turns out that it is Dinklage 44, Coster Waldo 43.
Oh wow.
Headey 40.
Oh wow. Well, Evil Uncle Tyrion's definitely the oldest and the worst.
Yes. And so presumably he's for the siblings who made fun of him, they would have had at least to be 5 years older than him.
Oh yeah. So in the books they're much older than Tyrion. I think they were probably like 7 years older than Tyrion in the books. So anyway, the Oberyn Martell saying, "Hey, we were told stories. You were this freak." And what some people say is interesting is they were told stories a bit like, do you remember Daenerys's baby in season one? And Daenerys is like, "Where is my baby?" And they're like, "Well, it was born with a tail, and it was born with claws and leathery skin."
Hmm.
And so what's interesting in this is that the story that's told about Tyrion is a bit almost identical to that story that was told about Daenerys's baby back
so
in season one.
So that is a great Easter egg for people who pay attention.
Yeah, and this show, you shouldn't pay attention, because then you might learn Baldy McBeardison's name of Jan O'Slynn.
Boring!
All right, so, anyway, this whole scene is building up to the point where a character we love, this new guy, Oberyn Martell, says, I'm going to be your champion, evil Uncle Tyrion. What do you think about that, Catfish?
I think it is amazing. It is amazing. And it's interesting that, you know, what we love about this dude is he seems to recognize more than other people what kind of use that Tyrion is. I mean, Tyrion's father doesn't even realize that he saved their bacon.
Right. Amen. Amen. So, but this will be interesting. We hate evil Uncle Tyrion for the way he treated Joffrey, but we like Oberyn Martell. So mm-hmm. in this battle that I assume is going to happen in 2 weeks, who do you want to win? Oberyn Martell or the Mountain?
Oh, it's Oberyn Martell every time.
No, the Mountain.
Oh, it's the Mountain.
Right. Thank you. Okay, I'll edit that out. All right. So he's like, you know, I am going to totally...
He tells an amazing story, and he tells it well, and then he drops the mic.
Right. I'm out of here, suckers. So then we cut to the Eyrie, and I wonder if they don't show the Eyrie on some of these opening credit sequence, because now it's suddenly snowing at the Eyrie and nowhere else. And the Eyrie is technically at least as far south, if not farther south, than where the Hound and the Mountain are, where Brienne and Pod are. It is up in the mountains, but it's not like the Alps mountains. Look at all this snow.
It's really high up in the mountains.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so evil Sansa Stark has built a snow castle, and being from Winterfell, you would think she should build, snowmen and snow castles pretty well. And out comes...
It's true, but I only wish that someone had lit it on fire, so it could have been like the real
right,
Winterfell.
Right, it could smoke like the real Winterfell. Mm-hmm. And out comes my favorite new character.
Oh, really?
Little Robin Arryn. He's not a new character, he was in season one, but he's so good. And he's like, wow, what are you doing?
And it just goes to show how noble and great you could be if you get like 5 years of mother's milk.
Amen, amen. You didn't?
No, I did not.
Okay, so what's interesting is the way they shoot this scene right at the very beginning, it does imply that somebody is watching. You know, it has that way overhead mm-hmm, shot. Mm-hmm. And so Sansa's like, you know, I built it. I don't even really remember how Winterfell is anymore. And Robin is actually very nice and sweet. They have a little sweet moment here.
Well, he is a little sweet, although he does... He does seem to be very focused on
making
people
fly.
Yes.
Well, remember,
exactly.
He wanted to make evil Uncle Tyrion fly.
I understand.
Back
he
in the
seems
first
like he's just ready to make people fly at a moment's notice.
But Sansa is, I think, a bit charmed by some of his swagger.
She is, although she should listen closely to what he's saying. He's really focused on having people fly.
He's like, listen, when we're married, you can tell me you don't like somebody, and I'll make them fly right out the moon door. And
yeah.
Sansa's like, hey. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah,
she's
right?
She's got that
it.
Evil Stark blood. She's like, mm-hmm, oh, I like mm-hmm. this. So Robin accidentally...
Now, I will say this.
He accidentally knocked it down, and look at her. She's like, you ruined it. And she's mean. It was an accident.
She's meaner than she usually is, and I wonder if that's just because finally she's able to hit somebody without being killed, or whether they thought, we have to set this whole scene up so she hits him so that later on she can pretend to apologize for that. It seems very out of character and out of nowhere. The slap comes very fast.
It's very evil, Sansa, doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But then who comes down?
Your boy.
My boy, Smooth.
Peter Baelish.
Smooth operator.
I'm sorry. Because Sansa looks like Boy George, anytime you can use the do you really want to hurt me for Sansa, you should.
Like Peter Little Sugar Baelish, I like tall chicks. And so he's coming up, and I have to admit, I have never tried this move on a chick before.
Well, boy,
I was hot for your mom, now I'm hot for you. Did you like that?
It's an interesting move. I will say, I've watched this guy on The Wire, too, and I've never
noticed... Wire was such a great show.
Never noticed this before. He seems to talk out of the left side of his mouth quite a bit.
Yes, and so he's saying, now, I don't believe this. Littlefinger, who maybe you shouldn't believe anything, he's saying he killed Joffrey because Joffrey was responsible for Catelyn Stark's death? That sounds crazy.
Yeah, no, he'll say anything.
Right.
He's like Dario. He'll say anything to get laid.
To get in that lady's skirts, that's
and
for sure.
It is very interesting when he says, I loved your mother so much. Oh, no. What really creeped me out was when he said, you could have been my daughter. Now let's make out.
Man, I say that to so many girls. All right, so
you know, if you don't know,
and she's taller than him. Look at how much taller she is than him. But, and so anyway,
they could have. By the way, they could have, if they wanted to, have fixed that.
Right. Yeah.
They could have put him up on an Apple box.
Right. Yeah.
They do shit for this all the time for Tom Cruise.
Oh, so but how about this? He's like, "You're more beautiful than your mother." That's another line that the ladies love.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he pulls her in, and she doesn't fight it, Catfish. She wants it. But then, as the camera pans over their head. Who do we see? Who do we see? Oh, my goodness. Up top. Look who saw that.
Crazy.
Aunt Liza.
Mm-hmm. And I like this. Double S.
Double S?
Slutty Sansa.
Slutty Sansa.
Pretends. You know, she's like, I take the kiss, but, oh, no, I didn't really do anything. When she knew what she was doing the whole time.
Look at her face.
She's a hussy.
Look at her face, and look at Peter's face. Mm. What do you think Peter Baelish is thinking right then, Catfish?
Mm, he's thinking... Double D.
Double D?
Delicious daughter.
So anyway, then we cut to, I guess, later on,
mm-hmm.
Slutty Sansa, double S, she is pulled to meet Aunt Liza.
Mm-hmm.
And Aunt Liza is just hanging out by the open moon door.
Yeah.
You know, no, as you want to. You know, hey, I'm just hanging out here.
You think there'd be some sort of protection bar or maybe just like a you know, a chain, something.
Well, you could
know.
Close it, but she wants it open because she's about to threaten Slutty Sansa. And she is very hurt. She is very upset, Catfish.
Now, I will say this. She's a nut job. There is no zero doubt about that.
Sansa?
Well, they're both nut jobs.
Okay. Oh, you meant Aunt Liza.
Aunt Liza is okay. A nut job. However, she's been exceedingly, as we see, manipulated by Peter Baelish.
And she's entertaining. I love her. I don't want her to go.
Okay,
I mean,
she
is entertaining. She's funny.
You can't decide between young women or crazy women.
Right. But anyway, she's talking about bodies falling out this moon door and splattering, and their eyes, you know, just going off in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
She's actually very close to it. Are you afraid of heights, Catfish? Would you be this close to the moon door?
Well, as you know, I have 90 solo parachute jumps.
Yeah.
But without a parachute, I would not be able to look down there.
Yeah, this is absolutely crazy. And she's like, you kissed him. You kissed Peter. And Sansa says she didn't. That's a lie.
Well, no, see, and this is why I think they did the earlier scene. She says, why'd you do it? Why'd she do it? And then Sansa says, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have hit him.
Right, Peter. Oh, yeah. You meant Little Robin. But Sansa says, no, I didn't. You don't understand. And Liza's correct. You did. I saw it with her own eyes.
She did. She just sat there and let it happen.
And Sansa says she pulled away. I didn't see her pull away.
No, she did not pull
but
away.
This
in
is
fact,
a,
I saw a little glint in her eye.
This is a great line here where Aunt Liza says, my father, my husband, my sister, they all stood between Peter and I, and now they're all dead. And that's what happened to people who stand between Peter and me.
Oh, so this new information, she killed her father, too.
No, she didn't kill her father, but her father, you know, made her marry John Aaron and not Peter. Uh-oh. And who's to the rescue?
Side-talking Peter.
He's like, Liza, listen to me. Do you want her? And he's like, this empty-headed child? And Peter's like, I don't care about her head. Hello.
Bam. And then he gives her some bullshit. And she's like... I don't believe you, Double P.
Double P?
Philandering Peter.
She's like, listen, I lied for you. I killed for you. And Peter's like, I swear on my life. I swear to all the gods. Now, I have a feeling he's lying right here, Catfish.
I think he is. He says, let her go. And again, I'm just going to say, it's very strange. Like, this is his native accent. And he seemed more natural when he was speaking, when he had an American accent on the wire than he does here.
Well, I think the idea is he has kind of different, he plays different roles. And so his idea is that I have this accent when I'm in King's Landing.
Okay.
And so he comes up and he's like.
He's going to comfort her, my sweet, silly wife. And then, he pulls her up and it's so nice. And let me tell you something.
Yeah.
He drops the mother flipping hammer on her.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he drops her.
No, that was not a drop.
No.
That was a push.
He's like,
I only loved somebody my entire life.
And she smiles.
She's
like,
yeah, it's
yes,
me.
It's
and he's
me.
Like, did you forget that I wanted your sister? No, it's just your sister. Later.
Whoa, and there was a little bad CGI effect there as she was falling. And then a cut, and then a good CGI effect as she's falling. And Peter Baelish, and it was odd that they played that the end song to this was a Peter Baelish's theme, 99 Problems.
Now, who was it? The earlier scene, we had somebody drop the mic and then leave?
Yeah.
In this scene, he dropped the wife and then left.
Dropped the wife, right.
Dropped the wife.
When Jay-Z drops the wife at a concert, that maybe that's why Solange was beating him up.
Right. I did see a good thing where it was somebody had CGI'd or did a Photoshop,
right.
A Jay-Z with a t-shirt on, and it said 100 problems.
Yeah, that was on TNT's post-game report the other night. All right, so Catfish, you gave it 8 Joffreys out of 10.
I did.
I gave it 7. What was your favorite scene?
But again, mostly because of what they've set up for the future.
Yeah, okay. This is definitely setting up a lot of stuff. What was your favorite scene, Catfish?
I'm going to have to go with my boy, Oberyn.
Oberyn coming in. And telling the story of them pulling on little Uncle Tyrion's Uncle Tyrion.
On his, pulling on the double P.
Double P?
Yeah, pathetic pud.
evil Uncle Tyrion.
Tyrion's pathetic little pud.
Just doesn't measure up.
Oh, bam!
Right, so Catfish, it's time. Mm-hmm. For our Joffrey of the episode. So, which character in this episode really, to you, was filled in for Joffrey's place? It's hard to watch these episodes without Joffrey. Mm-hmm. Which character was the most like Joffrey?
Hmm.
And so I'll go first. Mine, I kind of gave it away earlier, little Robin Arryn.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to take out people just like Joffrey did. Joffrey did, but didn't do the easy way out through a moon door. Joffrey killed them through other people. Mm-hmm. And so little Robin Arryn, Joffrey, who defeated Winterfell? Well, the Greyjoys and the Boltons, yada, 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 Joffrey. So Joffrey defeated Winterfell, and now you have little Robin Arryn defeating Snow Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me tell you, that castle knew nothing. So long story short, Robin Arryn, my Joffrey of the episode.
Okay. Well, whilst you were thinking of yours,
drink.
I'm going to give my Joffrey of the week to Peter Baelish.
Littlefinger is your the Joffrey of the week.
He's my Joffrey of the week.
On
because
the show.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Just like Joffrey, he was like, no, I don't think I want this broad. I want this one.
Right. Yeah, Joffrey had a girl. He dropped her. Got a different girl.
Got another girl.
And Littlefinger, very similar.
Littlefinger
dropped them literally.
No one could be as good as Joffrey because the lady that Pietor settles on was Joffrey's discard.
Right. Amen. So he's like, hand me down Joffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that is pretty good. Now, Catfish, we also do our Joffrey in real life.
Oh boy,
our real life Joffrey.
Okay.
So, nobody can ever really come close, ever. But if you had to pick one real-life Joffrey, what would it be?
Wow, my real-life Joffrey.
Yeah.
You know my real-life Joffrey?
No, I don't. That's why I want you to tell me.
Okay. And this goes out to at Mike Killey, my real my Joffrey of the week, Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel is your real-life Joffrey of the week.
Yeah, because he was slipping on the boards. And he sends a text message to a guy from a team. Let's do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, what do you say? We're going to destroy this thing? Let's wreck this league. After all the trouble he's been through, he gets drafted. And he goes up on stage, flashes the money stuff.
Yep.
And then he's all about his business.
Oh, wow.
So Johnny Manziel. Taking care of business.
TCB.
He's my Joffrey of the week.
Well, that is a very good Joffrey of the week, Catfish. I really respect it. But I'm going to go with a Joffrey of the Week that's kind of a bit bigger than one person.
Really?
Bigger than a person.
As we all know, sometimes not a single person can represent Joffrey. It's an idea. It's an organization.
Right.
So who is your Joffrey of the Week?
I am going to go a sports Joffrey of the Week.
Great.
And it is Gus Johnson, the famous sports announcer.
Yes.
But specifically his calling of the FA Cup match yesterday. Did you watch that, Cap?
I did not watch that.
It was Hull City versus the Arsenal.
Yes.
And it was a great match. Hull City got up 2-0, but then Arsenal came back, and you could kind of feel it coming. And sure enough, I think in the second extended period, Arsenal won. But during the game, like, Gus Johnson didn't care about facts. He would just say things. He didn't care if it was right or not. There's this big debate where the owner of Hull City, AFC, he thinks the name is too long. He's like, AFC, that stands for, something football club. The A.
Yes, obviously.
And so anyway, their nickname was the Tigers. He just wants to switch the name to the Hull Tigers. And so people are against that because of the tradition of Hull City and all this stuff. And anyway, Gus Johnson just didn't care. He's like, I'm going to call them the Tigers, the Hull Tigers, because that's what the owner wants. It's like Gus, like a lot of people, is listening to the voice from above, the owner, in this case, the Joffrey of the team.
Right.
And just saying, listen, who cares what the fans want? I'm going to go with what the Joffrey, the right person, wants. And so Gus Johnson, every time he said, Hull Tigers, go! He was really following
all right,
Joffrey's
footsteps.
I'm going
to disagree with you only what? Because I don't think that
no, you don't.
Anything
you
having,
don't ever think
anything
Kevin.
Having to do with soccer could be a Joffrey.
Excuse me, that's football.
Yes, I understand.
Right. All right, so Catfish, it's going to be 2 weeks until we have a new episode. Is that painful?
My.
What are you going to do, Catfish? This is wrong.
I'm just going to, watch old episodes.
Good.
I've got a supercut of all of Joffrey's scenes.
Oh, man, that's the only way to watch.
And I just watch that over and over again.
Right, really perfect. So
I'm coming so close to finding the killer.
Right.
Of the whore
right.
in Joffrey's room. Right. I am this close to putting it together.
Okay, there's always a clue. Yow!
I'm going to find out. I'm telling you, I'm this close.
All right, so we've got 2 weeks. Thank you so much for listening. Tell us how we can make your show for Joffrey better. You can write to us once again on Twitter. I'm at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim. On Twitter, or...
And I'm Catfish, and you can get me at CJGman67.
And we'll talk to you next time on...
The Joffrey of Podcasts.